The home of the Suns run to the championship. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station, and the Arizona Sports app. Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kilt Lifter. Bickley and Murata talk Suns in the Western Conference Finals now.
Well, unfortunately, they're not very healthy. I mean, the fact that Donovan Mitchell's working towards a game time decision, I don't know if I've actually heard that description of
him. I haven't either.
Before. If I'm working towards a coin toss on whether I'm going to play or not, I'm not sure that's necessarily a good sign. But of course, Jazz fans are going to be happy if Mike Conley can return. But at this point, I mean, after the loss on Wednesday night at home, when you heard Kawhi Leonard was going to be out and the Jazz felt like they had all the momentum back in the series, and then they still lost, and it's clear Donovan Mitchell's not playing anywhere close to 100%. I think they felt, I think they feel like their playoff hopes are shattered a little bit, so you guys might want to start getting ready for that Sunday game.
Well, that's Ben Anderson, who covers the Jazz for KSL up in Salt Lake City. He joined Doug and Wolf this morning. Not painting a very bright picture for the Jazz going into Game 6 tonight. Might want to get ready for that Sunday game, according to Ben Anderson. Will that be the case? We'll find out tonight. Finally, we'll know when at least the Suns are going to play. We won't necessarily know who the opponent is going to be, but the calendar will be settled tonight.
Yeah.
And that's at least part of the puzzle.
Right. The calendar tonight, and then hopefully the availability of Chris Paul on Saturday. It's going to be an interesting anticipatory 48 hours.
Yep. Open phone time right now, 602-260-9870 is the phone number. On who you want to see the Suns play, how they match up, questions, concerns, all of it as the Suns move on to the Western Conference Finals. Let's start in Scottsdale, and we'll talk to Brandon up first here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. What's up, Brandon?
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Thank you.
Amin Al-Hassan said it best the other day. Clippers going to clip. Suns in four. Let's do it.
Suns in four. Okay. That's good. Suns in four.
Short.
Suns in four.
Short and sweet from Brandon and Scott.
Suns in four.
Yeah, I mean, we...
Do you know that Nick McKellar, the Suns fan, his father tweeted Wolf this morning?
Really?
Yeah. I was actually aware of this dude because I did some research trying to find him earlier in the week, and his dad's name is Winston. And Winston owns a company out down somewhere in the South. I forget where, maybe Charlotte or something like that. But they're from Phoenix. And apparently they're jazzed by the Suns. Wow. I didn't even mean to do that.
You can't.
I didn't even mean to
do that. I'll give you a chance to take that back.
Let me rewind that. Let me pull that back.
They're what by the Suns?
I'm sorry. They're excited by the Suns.
That's funny. 602-260-9870 is the number. Let's go out to Tad and Gilbert here on Bickley and Murata. What's going on, Tad?
Jazz by the Suns. That's a nasty comment right there.
Totally unintentional.
You know, I like how Jay said it best yesterday. We're preparing for anyone and everyone. You know, I think everyone is coming through the Suns this year. You know, and this is typically the time of year for all the sad Suns fans that we're preparing for, you know, putting everything in the who can get in the draft here. Mm-hmm. But this is an exciting year for us, and we're ready to take on whoever's coming our way.
Do you have a preference on who you'd rather see, though?
I like both matchups. You know, in the regular season, it was scary going up against the Clippers, but this isn't the regular season anymore. You know, it's a whole different ball game. Everything slows down. So matchup-wise, I would say we probably match up better with the Jazz, but the injury factor is just such a big thing this year.
Gotcha.
It is. Appreciate it, Tad.
So for everybody who calls, and that's partially what we want from you people. We want your prediction. Who would you prefer to play and why? And then your best impression. Well, you could throw that in there, too. Everybody's got a good impression. You can always throw that in there.
No, they don't, Bick. That's just... A lot of people do, but a lot of people don't. I mean, I think Tad brings up a great point, too. We talked a little bit about this. When you look at the regular season matchups between those two teams, the Suns had their way with the Jazz this year. The Clippers had their way with the Suns this year. Throw those out the window. We've seen that postseason basketball is indeed, like everybody says, completely different from regular season basketball. Mm-hmm. The Suns, even with the Chris Paul situation being up in the air right now, will go into the next series as the healthier team, which is amazing.
Yeah, well, that is true. That's a very good point. And hopefully, I think we're all kind of hoping that Chris Paul misses no time at all? Because that wouldn't that feel like quite a gift if this announcement happens on Saturday or whatever form it's going to look like and the Suns just release, Chris Paul will be available for game one of the Western Conference Finals. Mm-hmm. That would make Saturday really fun.
It would.
Yeah.
Let's root for that.
Let's do it.
602-260-9870, the phone number. Sam is in Mesa. He's up next here on Bickley and Murata. What's going on, Sam?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Doing well.
Hey, so I just want to let you guys know we got sports, we got son fever in the household. You know, my son's shooting baskets with the trash instead of hearing Kobe. I hear book him.
Oh, I like it.
And so you know what? This kind of reminds me of the old Mavericks team. You know, so we got a really good mid-range game and Chris Paul. Of course, we're missing Dirk, but you know, we just need to find somebody to get a 2021 chance tattooed on him. So I just want to see if you guys find somebody who's willing to get that tattooed on him. I think we got it won.
All right, that's pretty confident, Sam. Appreciate it.
You remember those Mavericks teams, don't you, Vinny? Josh Howard.
Devin Harris.
Oh, yeah, Devin
JJ
Harris.
J.J. Barea.
That's right. That's right.
J.J. Barea, by the way, reincarnated as Facundo Campazzo. Are they not the
That's
same player?
Good. Yeah, they pretty are.
Except Campazzo plays more defense.
Facundo is an interesting guy. I really enjoy. I didn't enjoy his game, but I enjoyed his spunk, if you will. He's a fighter. You know what I mean?
He's the guy. If he's on your team, you love him. If he's not, right, you hate him. And you make fun of him mercilessly.
Right. That's right. That's true.
Let's keep it going on the phones. Rob is in Phoenix. He's up next here on Bickley and Murata. Hey, Rob.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's the Clippers just, I understand they've got the injury situation going on, but I'm still just much prefer to play the Jazz. Because even with Kawhi Leonard being injured, you still have the situation where with their bigs, they've got that distinct advantage there. Where you know we match up so much better against the Jazz that we could probably take the Jazz in five or six. Whereas the Clippers, if we're even with the injury situation, we would still have to. I would think it would go seven if we were able to beat them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just really rooting for the Jazz tonight.
I think we all are, Rob. Thanks for the phone call. Potential matchup situations.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird to say you like the matchup better when you're going up against the defensive player of the year three times in the last 4 years in Rudy Gobert, but I think DeAndre Ayton has – built his profile where you feel comfortable about it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of unknown with the Clippers. What we do know about the Clippers and their bigs rotation is Serge Ibaka will not play for the remainder of the playoffs. He's out. He had surgery. They, in their series with Utah, have gone from starting Ivica Zubac at center, who's a more traditional big man, and they're going to Nick Batum, who's at times in his career has played guard, but he's been the starting center. So they've gone small and used a different rotation that way. I don't know how the Suns counter that, honestly.
It's so odd to me that Nicholas Batum was part of those Trailblazers teams that the Suns would once go up against. Remember that when he was just a youngin'?
Yeah, that was their last playoff run.
That's right.
Started with a series over Portland, and he was on that team.
Wow. Wow.
10 years later, here we are.
Look at that.
602-260-9870, the phone number. Spencer is in Goodyear. He's got the floor here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Hey, Spencer.
How you guys doing?
Doing well.
I've lived here my whole life, and so I'm pretty optimistic, except for when it comes to Arizona sports teams. I just expect them to fail. But with that being said, of living here my whole life, I would love to see another L.A. team just get destroyed by the Suns. Like, I would appreciate the Clippers coming here and just sweeping them. And being here my whole life, it's just been difficult to believe that we can do it. But for once, I'm just like, I really think we can win. I really think we can take it all. So I'm excited.
Thank you for your call, man. I really like the way you said that, because I've had the same feelings when I think about this team in this series. Part of me just wants to go, this isn't going to happen. And then you just think about it, you go, They might. We've been so habituated by bad things and by teams that have not been able to win a championship that it's hard to really embrace the fact that this might actually happen.
Yeah, that's what's different about this team as opposed to others. And I'm sure there were times in the 7 seconds or less era where you felt, okay, the Suns are the team to beat. But what's different about this team, A, they play defense at an elite level, at an elite playoff level. We've seen that through their first 10 games. And B, there is not that fully constructed juggernaut of a team waiting in any potential series
with them. Exactly. And the Nets, there was a time in the emotional evolution of this postseason for me where I kind of thought, you know what, even if they get to the finals, there's no way anybody is beating Brooklyn. But that was when they had three guys healthy, which lasted about 9 minutes. Right?
About that. Yeah.
And so it's the realization when you go back and you think about how many teams in Arizona since the 0-1 Diamondbacks have had a realistic chance to win a championship. The 0-2 Diamondbacks did until Luis Gonzalez got hurt. And after that, would have been it would have been the 7-second Suns. But even those teams, the Spurs sat above us, lorded over us in a way that it felt like the NBA Finals were a mile away. There was the year with Bruce Arians where we realized, wow, all you got to do is win two playoff games to get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
but then they got destroyed in Carolina. So it's
that was probably the team that felt the most like that.
Yeah,
in this stretch.
Yes, I agree.
With apologies to those Suns teams.
Yes, I do agree with that as well. And I think the Suns had a good enough team back then, but there was just this nemesis ahead of them that they could not dislodge. I mean, the Spurs were a dynasty. We don't want to admit that, but they were.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a new feeling. This is something we really haven't had in a while. We all hope for the best, but to have a team that they can do this, it's revelatory. It's a really cool feeling.
Yeah, and hopefully we get good news on that front again tomorrow.
Right.
602-260-9870 is the phone number if you want to get in. Paul is in Phoenix. He's up next here on Bickley and Murata. Hey, Paul.
I'll take an angry jazz fan, Krabickley. Mark Eaton, you sit on the sidelines. No, guys, you got to want the Jazz. Got to want the Jazz.
Okay.
And the reason why is because the Clippers irritate the crap out of me because it seems like every time that their backs are to the wall, they find somebody to figure out a goofy shot or get hot, and they just play angry. We don't want them to play angry. I'd rather not play them at all. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, appreciate the phone call. And the Clippers have that duo of guards, too, that can get under your skin, and Patrick Beverley and Rajon Rondo.
That's a good point.
And when playoff Rondo gets cranked up, as we've seen so many times, he can really, really change the complexion of a series.
Yeah, and Rondo and Chris Paul have got a real interesting thing. They won't even call each other by name.
There's that whole thing.
There's that whole thing.
I didn't mean to cut you off. I know you were going to make a point after that.
Call. No. I've vacillated significantly on this. I'm going to stick with the Clippers without Kawhi are a better matchup, I think. But who knows, man?
You look at it this way. Okay, no Kawhi. Let's assume that he's not going to play. They still have Paul George, who can play at a superstar level.
Yep.
If you're going into the Jazz series, the one guy that can light it up at a superstar level consistently is not right in Donovan Mitchell.
Maybe the Jazz are the better call. And like I said, there is something about that Clippers mentality. This is a different kind of Clippers team. They're a very edgy team that doesn't always try hard, but always tries hard against the Suns. And that does scare me. I won't lie.
Yeah, they've had some heat between them this year, definitely.
Yeah.
Jay in Mesa, he is up next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. What's going on, Jay?
Hey guys, love your show.
Thank you.
During this playoffs, I've been so excited. There's been times where, I've been, watching the game, and it's like I started doing dueling gambles with myself. Jay Crowder, Devin Booker, just going crazy about the stats, right?
Uh-huh.
Just crazy stats. And, there's been some times where I've been so excited, I've been running around my house, I could actually feel the visceral fat around my vital organ jiggling.
You know, there's people that can help you with that,
yeah,
Jerry.
People, I'll get a phone number for you, dude.
I've heard that somewhere. But, you know, I do agree with the caller that's hesitant to jump on board with this Suns team just because I, too, have lived in the Valley my whole life. I, too, have had my heart broken, you know, and so it hurts. But, you know, what's the alternative here? I mean, I can walk around and make the choice to be hopeful here. And as we talk about Utah Jazz, we talk about the Clippers. You know, the Suns, top to bottom, I believe we have a better team than either of those teams.
I do, too.
And that's whether, you know, these guys play or not. We don't know what we don't know. But I believe the Suns, you know, this is, it's like a redemption song for us. And, you know, here's the thing. The alternative to me being hopeful, we always know we're going to get our heart broken. We may, you know, we may get our heart broken. But, you know, I'm either running around like crazy, excited about the Suns, or I'm home. And if they break my heart, then I'm at home sitting, drowning my sorrows. Thanks, guys, for taking my call.
That is outstanding. Remember what I say, man, love makes fools of us all.
Oh, yeah.
All right? None of us get off that hook.
And hearing him talk about that, I mean, it's been so long since you felt that way with this Suns team.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. Like, for somebody like me who claims daily to be dead inside, it feels good to care.
Are you coming to life, Vinny?
I am. Look at me.
I'm back.
Look at me. I'm glowing.
Positively. Positively glowing, man. I thought you just exfoliated.
A what?
Huh? You know.
Got time for a few more. David's been waiting. He's in Scottsdale. He's up next here on Bickley and Murata. Hey, David.
Hey, how's it going? I don't even understand why we're having this discussion. We have the best fans' home court advantage. Clippers. Clippers all the way. People are worried about the matchup. People worried about the L.A. matchup. We took care of L.A. I was worried about Denver. We really took care of Denver. Let's just take whoever we can on and let our fans at home have a good time.
I appreciate it, David.
Yeah, so you're cheering for home court advantage. That's perfectly logical.
I get that.
Mm-hmm.
Still would rather have home court advantage starting on Tuesday.
That you could do that.
We could do that as well. We can be choosers at this point. Let's get the best of both worlds.
But let's be real. Well, no, you're right. There's just kind of this assumption that if it goes seven, the Jazz are going to win. I guess you can't make that assumption.
No, you can't.
Isn't that the truth about everything about this postseason? Assumptions are absurd.
Yeah, it's impossible not to come to assumptions, to explore assumptions because of just the nature of the competition. But at the bottom line, like, you know, the last caller said, The Suns arguably have the best team in the league.
Yeah, listen, I'm right. I mean, this is how weird this has been. The Suns couldn't even get through their bye week unscathed, right?
True.
And that's basically what they've had.
True.
Somebody might get their nose broke at practice tomorrow. You never know.
Why suggest such a thing? Now you're just taunting the basketball gods.
No, I'm not.
Michael's in Buckeye. He's up next.
Very respectful.
What's going on, Michael?
Hey, guys, I wanted to play the Clippers. So I listened a few weeks ago. Everybody wanted to play the Warriors instead of the Lakers. What do you know? We beat the Lakers. What does Monty say? Everything's on the other side of hard. So why not beat another L.A. team? Mm-hmm. I look at matchup-wise, the storylines, Chris Paul against his former team. We'll get to beat one of the Morris brothers. How awesome would that be? They've got cardboard cutouts for fans. Let's just go through another L.A. team, like you guys have been saying. We're the team to beat. Watch all the series. We're the team.
So there you go. I like what you're saying. Beat both L.A. teams. Eliminate both Morris brothers.
Yeah, as Markieff was on the Lakers.
That's right.
He's got about 3 minutes of playing time. unlike him, Marcus actually plays for the Clippers.
Right, right. Markieff tried to goon it up. That's all he tried to do.
It's only happened one time in Suns history where the Suns have eliminated both the Lakers and the Clippers in the same postseason.
That's true.
2006.
That's right. And both of those were a challenge. They had to come back from 3-1 down against Kobe's Lakers. They were favored in that series. That Game 7 was one of the more enjoyable things any of us have ever experienced. And then that series against the Clippers, they needed that miraculous shot from Tim Thomas.
Yeah, went all seven games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, those first two rounds were how you don't do it. That's how you don't get to the NBA Finals.
Which they've completely handled it differently this year.
That's exactly
playing
right.
Only two games over the minimum. Time for one more call. Mike has been hanging on. He's in Waddell. He's up next here on Bickley and Murata. What's going on, Mike?
Good day, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hello, Mike.
I have a parallel universe. 20 years ago, the Diamondbacks beat the Yankees, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
They're going to beat Brooklyn in 7.
Wow.
It's the same parallel. We had 9/11, and we were the villains because we beat the Yankees probably, but not in Arizona. So now we have COVID to deal with, another big deal, and here we are. We're going to be in the playoffs. I don't care who we play. We got shooters 1 through 20, whoever. We're going to kick their ass.
Thanks, Mike.
We got the Suns and 4 guys that we got. Hopefully he doesn't hit anybody at Suns Arena.
He sounds like a totally nonviolent guy who was just
like
pushed too far.
Yes. He's the quintessential American hero. Our lineage of a country, we like to paint ourselves as the reluctant badass. That we don't do anything until we are forced into it.
Good name for a band.
Reluctant badass. We're just like Bruce Willis. We're just a guy minding his business until somebody kidnaps his daughter.
Yeah.
Or this or that. And then
we're John Wick.
And then you. And
don't
then
steal
Rambo.
The son's dog.
That's right. That's the son's
Michael
and
Douglas
guy.
And falling down.
Right,
if the man wants breakfast after the cutoff, give him his breakfast.
Give him his breakfast. That's right.
Thanks for all the phone calls. Coming up next, we'll talk more on the ASU football situation. Chris Cartman from Sun Devil Source will join us straight ahead. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
All you cool people, you better leave now because it's about to happen.
Friday edition of Bickley and Murata, live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios. We've had our next guest on a lot to talk about ASU football, and we've certainly talked ASU football recruiting with him over the years, but never in this realm, the negative realm that we'll go down today. Chris Cartman, the publisher of SunDevilSource.com for 24/7 Sports, joins us now on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Chris, how are you?
Doing well. Good to be with you guys.
This thing's developing rather quickly. Just give our listeners, if you could, just a real quick thumbnail on how we got here.
Right. So, there were documents that were provided to ASU compliance by an anonymous person that reportedly include photos and texts and emails that document impermissible visits that took place with recruits on campus at ASU over a 14-month period in which it was not allowed. And then there are additional allegations that some of these trips were paid for not by the recruits, which would also not be allowed. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at the possibility of several dozen or more recruits taking these types of trips. And the potential for, you know, how widespread this is and how orchestrated it is having an impact directly on whatever possible level of the violation structure this would be considered to be, as the NCAA would view it in their investigation.
As somebody who is as dialed in as you are with as many sources as you have, with as much experience with this program as you do, what did you feel emotionally when all of this began to break? Surprised or not?
Surprised, yes. Mainly because I have spoken with many recruits over the last year, and none of them mentioned to me or my staff even ones who were on campus at ASU on what are called self-guided visits, which were allowed during COVID. Nobody mentioned having met with Herm Edwards or other ASU coaches, anything along those lines. That would have been a very clear violation. So to me, if that was taking place, then any of these kids would have likely have been instructed or known that it was not allowed, because otherwise they would have shared it as part of their conversations and the interviews that we had about them. And Herm Edwards spoke really seriously about COVID and all of the challenges associated with it and the seriousness of it and following a lot of the medical guidelines and understanding of the restrictions that were made upon recruiting and upon teams throughout that. And it's not something that you would naturally sort of suspect that that Herm Edwards would have any knowledge about or be a participant in anything along these lines as a result.
Chris Cartman, the publisher of SunDevilSource.com, our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. This is obviously very early into an investigation, although there are stories coming out left and right on this particular subject. But a lot of the stories, Chris, point to maybe just too much power being bestowed upon Antonio Pierce in the whole recruiting process. And obviously it paid dividends with getting highly ranked recruits. But do you buy into that? Do you think Antonio Pierce was running pretty much unchecked?
I think when you're dealing with COVID, you don't have the same structure that existed prior in terms of compliance, oversight. Everybody's on campus. There's monitoring that's more easily done.
Sure.
So there's a possibility for people to do things that and get away with more in that sort of an environment. And there's no doubt that there were fractured sort of groups within ASU football where a lot of people who were just aggressive and wanted to do, wanted to recruit at the highest level and wanted to be really competitive for top prospects across the country and trying to get those kids on their campus as much as possible, you know, before the dead period of COVID and then and after that period. And so I think there were people who, you know, they weren't comfortable in that environment or they weren't happy or they thought that, you know, they shouldn't have to work as hard or do a lot of the things. Maybe there was some entitlements that existed with some other people. And that created, a dichotomy, you know, where you had just, you know, people at odds with others. And I think that there's no doubt that there's some animosity among people who used to work for ASU Athletics in a way that could lead to, you know, this being a much worse situation than it otherwise would have, because you typically very rarely, if ever, have coaches willing to, you know, go to the compliance or the NCAA about things that they had seen or witnessed and providing documents, try to have supporting evidence. That just doesn't really happen. So there's no doubt that the culture within ASU football and people having differences of opinion about that contributed to this situation.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Do you think the fact that this did happen inside of a pandemic, which seems to be, it kind of defies the whole public safety initiatives that were so important to the Pac-12, do you think that is going to put some, I don't know, motivation or speed behind the NCAA? Do you think that's going to be particularly egregious? And along with that, the people inside the program who seem to be, according to reports, willing to cooperate with the NCAA, you don't always get that either. What are those factors? How will they play into this?
It could potentially accelerate it. The NCAA, of course, is notoriously long in terms of assessing all these types of situations. And I don't anticipate this is going to be like a few months and there's a resolution. I think it's going to be a year or longer between now and whenever you get to an outcome. And it's because there's two-pronged part of this. There's the investigation phase, which will probably last some months. And then there's the determination and the results phase, which is going to also last several months. So, and also the scope of this is pretty significant. So there's going to be a lot of interviews and meetings with coaches and people and looking into some of these allegations, trying to contact recruits and their family members and other people and try to get to the bottom of it. So I don't know how much propulsion that there will be. That could be largely determined by additional reporting that comes out. Like if this keeps advancing with more and more sort of black eye type incidents alleged or worse allegations possibly coming out, that could expedite the process in a really bad way for ASU football staff. That might lead to pressure from the president upon Ray Anderson and other ASU officials. That's sort of hard to predict whether that will happen or not.
Yep. Chris Cartman, our guest here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Last one for you. John Wilner from the Mercury News was on with Burns and Gambo yesterday and spoke pretty freely, Chris, about what he described as widespread suspicion of ASU's sudden recruiting success. That was kind of news to me. I don't follow it as closely as you do. Were you aware of widespread suspicion on what ASU was doing from a recruiting standpoint?
Not really. I think there has been this sort of understanding or belief within reporters who cover recruiting really closely across the country that you have a lot of kids taking visits to a lot of schools. And it would seem unlikely that people would be doing that on their own, but then not maybe having some in-person dialogue with coaches. So that, you know, that exists in not just ASU, but also elsewhere. Doesn't mean that what ASU is alleged to have done, it wouldn't be wrong. Of course it would. As far as like the rankings and the way the recruiting success is, I'm not sure that Wilner really has studied how ASU has fared in that regard, because mm-hmm. The last class that he signed was not ranked in the top five in the Pac-12. It was not in the top 40 nationally. It wasn't considered to be some really prominent haul that they had. Mm-hmm. The previous class was a very good class, but not outside, you know, the what has been, you know, sort of in the same ballpark for ASU over the last 15 to 20 years. They've had three or four classes that were top 20 or borderline that range caliber. And that class was also kind of in that ballpark. And I think most people, including myself, frankly, attributed that mostly to the types of coaches that they had, yeah. How aggressive that they were in recruiting and all of that.
Yeah. Chris, great stuff as always. Thank you so much for the time and the insight. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Chris Cartman, publisher, sundevilsource.com, part of 24/7 Sports. He joined us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Coulter Nissan, west of the hassle. Visit coulternissan.com. If you're going to be bad at something, you might as well be really bad.
Mm-hmm.
The motto for your 2021 Arizona Diamondbacks. We'll get into dubious history next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Bickley and Murata.
First pitch. Peralta on the ground to short, backhanded by Dubon. Throws the first in time, and the game is over, and the misery continues for the Diamondbacks. They lose to San Francisco 10-3, their 14th consecutive loss, tying the franchise record, and their 23rd straight on the road, a new Major League record.
Yikes. Mike Farron on the final call yesterday from Oracle Park in San Francisco. Torey Lovello started the road trip by saying, we didn't come to San Francisco to get our butts kicked four times. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what happened.
That's exactly what happened.
Lose yesterday 10-3. Of course, they had the gut punch of a loss where they blew a 7-0 lead earlier in that series. But there you go. And people will focus, and rightfully so, anytime a team achieves dubious Major League Baseball history, like breaking the all-time road losing streak that has stood since 1963. But part of what Mike Farron said, they've tied a franchise record now for the longest losing streak ever.
Yeah.
So it's not just losing at home. They've only lost four straight at home.
Right.
They can extend that one tonight with the Dodgers in town.
Yeah, and you wonder where this whole thing is going. You wonder how many losses this season is going to lead to, because you can't just extrapolate what they've done now over the course of 162 games because of how bad they've been recently. They're 5-37 in their last 42.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, I mean, and they certainly can't continue losing at that pace, can they? Or can they?
Mm-hmm.
They don't have many pitching options. Yesterday, Zach Gallen did not last that long, and I'm sure he'll be back to form before too long, but I just can't believe they've been this bad and there's this much baseball season left.
That's the thing.
That is the thing.
They have 50 losses. It's June 18th.
And here's the other thing, too. So it becomes a matter of, what do you do about Torey Lovello? Do you go to Torey and say, I hope they've already had these conversations, to be quite honest with you. But this is what I warned about. This was the folly in not giving this man a contract extension while talking about him in glowing praises every single time you're asked. Because now in the midst of epic amounts of losing, what are people doing? And the frustrations are going to change the manager already. What's with this guy? With this guy and his optimism?
I said it earlier in the show, and for those who may have missed it, you said, and people suggest this, it's not Torey Lovello's fault. No, the 20-50 record largely is not Torey Lovello's fault.
Mm-hmm.
But being able to squeeze something out of a team during this dark of a run is something a manager's got to find a way to do. Maybe it's impossible with this team because they don't do anything well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the pitching has been horrendous. They've already fired their hitting coach. They don't hit the ball at all. Gabe Lack on USA Today had a whole Diamondbacks ugly streak by the numbers. In 7 of those 23 games on the road that they've lost in a row, they've blown leads. Minus 78 run differential. Their starting pitcher ERA is 6.05. 5 different pitchers have gone on the injured list during this run. And they're 28th in road batting during this stretch in Major League Baseball.
You're right.
So maybe, maybe it is unfair to suggest, can Torey Lovello coax one win out of this team? And at this point, does it matter?
Mm. And the natural thing to do is to scream to replace the manager. But what is that going to accomplish with this baseball team?
Well, you have to determine if you're the Diamondbacks and you're Ken Kendrick in the front office and Mike Hazen and his staff. If Mike Hazen and his staff are safe moving forward in their job security, you have to determine if Torey Lovello is the guy to manage a complete rebuilding process,
because
mm-hmm. that's where this thing is going.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. My suspicion going into this year, based on Mike Hazen's complete inactivity, was that they were punting on this entire year. And I think that 1 week of good baseball was purely the anomaly. I go back to that interview with Mike Hazen had earlier in the week, and I think it was with Doug and Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll find no bigger fan of Mike Hazen than me. I've made that very, very, very clear. His words just didn't match up with reality at all. I don't believe for a minute that man believed this baseball team could win games. What would lead you to believe that?
I think that was the belief at the beginning of the year. If this team was put together, could they exceed what they did last year in going 25-35 in a 60-game season? I think that was the belief. The injuries have hit them hard, as they've hit a lot of teams hard. They have not dealt well, and their organizational depth is not very good, mm-hmm. as we found out. So I do believe that was the case at the beginning of the year. There's no reason to expect this group of Diamondbacks, who's now been beat down over the course of the last 2 months, to expect them to go on any kind of any change of direction in their winning ways.
Yeah, and so you ask yourself, okay, well, maybe we need a new voice. If you want to bring in a new voice to a baseball team that is either bad at best or underperforming at worst, really, you're going to blow out a good manager to serve a garbage collection of baseball players? Or like you said, if you're looking at a rebuilding thing in its entirety, what kind of guy do you want leading that charge? And is Torey Lovello that kind of guy? It almost kind of seems to me that they've decided he is and he will be. But then why the delay? None of it makes any sense to me.
Well, you look at the flip side of it, too. You look at the Diamondbacks roster, and you're like, it's not very inspiring to see some of these guys that are on a major league roster. But then the team that just swept them 4 games straight and is in first place, the San Francisco Giants, look at that team on paper. Does that look like a world-beater team?
No.
Lamont Wade Jr., Wilmer Flores, Kurt Casale, Steven Duggar, Jason Vossler?
No. No,
these are the guys that are winning these games. So there's something missing. Torey Lovello was asked after the game, all right, what needs to change to break this losing streak?
We share opinions on what we can do on a daily basis inside of this clubhouse with the 26 that we have. The front office is working their butt off to make sure that we have the most competitive roster that's going to help us go out and win a baseball game. And that's not really my territory. But I know that we have good baseball players. You look around and you've got guys that are having decent years, and our depth is definitely challenged, but it's an opportunity for the next layer of guys to take advantage of certain opportunities, and some have them, some we haven't seen that from. So, I don't know. I mean, I lay in bed at night thinking about different things. Sometimes I'm up until 3-4 o'clock in the morning trying to put the pieces of this puzzle together in my own head. It's tough. It's very challenging. First thing we need to do is relax, get under control, take care of what we can control, and just do our job. And that's kind of what I've been saying to the group, to that entire group.
And what happens if, you know, we hit the airwaves on Monday, and we're talking about a 3-game sweep at the hands of the Dodgers with 30,000 Dodger fans at Chase Field?
I know. And that's basically what it's going to be.
Yeah, basically, but that would be a 17-game losing streak overall.
Right. No, listen, and I think, but see, and that's, I think, once again, that's the folly in it all. At some point in time, you can only tolerate so much losing and keep the manager in place.
True. And even if it's cosmetic only.
Yeah, and they've put this manager in this position, in my opinion.
They certainly have, and you were way ahead of the curve on predicting where the Diamondbacks are right now. D-backs, Dodgers, tonight that series gets underway. 6:40 is the first pitch, 6 o'clock pregame here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Coming up next, we're halfway through on this Friday. Bix got your blast. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.